Pontius Pilate was in the center of it all, the judge who'd condemn Jesus or set him free. We hear quite a bit of dialogue between him and the accusers, him and Jesus, him and the crowd. In the end, we know that Jesus was crucified. Like Pilate, you and I will have to come to terms with what is most important. Now we know that Pilate didn't accept the testimony of the accusers outright to condemn Jesus, but conducts his own investigation. And even after going through a very thorough questioning and pronouncing Jesus as innocent, the people were not satisfied. Rather than sticking to his verdict, he had our Lord scourged, and his flesh be ripped apart, perhaps to satisfy the people. And yet this inhuman violence done upon Jesus did nothing to satisfy them. So intent were the people on his death that they even resorted to allowing a murderer go free, rather than the one who was teacher, who also performed miracles, who also performed healings, delivered those from evil, restored sight to the blind, proclaimed liberty to captives. When threat was finally given to losing his status as a friend of Caesar and throwing Pilate's prominent career down the drain, it was only then that he told them that they could crucify Jesus themselves, exempting himself from his responsibility, having been worn down by the crowd. This lasted for so long, this inquiry, because of the certain things in which Jesus had shared with Pontius Pilate. He was an otherworldly king. He is the one who stood for truth. He is the Son of God. Yet his need for honor and power in the world was too great for him to understand the message that Jesus was conveying to him. As friends of Jesus, you and I may often find ourselves challenged by the crowd. The crowd that wants us to give fealty and allegiance to earthly powers, that spouts that truth is whatever we want to make of it, and that if there is a God, it's made in our image and likeness. Have we bought into any of that? So much of the pressure that comes from the world is in front of our faces. It's very difficult for us to escape it. It seems to surround us on a daily basis, demand of us that we conform. And until we find our heart united to the heart of Jesus Christ, and in recognizing the love poured out for us, for our salvation, it gets that much easier for us to subscribe to the ways of the world. It is all around us. It is even in those individuals whom we had thought to believe are close with God. Those family members, those friends, those whom perhaps we have trusted in our faith. And as we have grown through the passage of years, we find that it's not all as we had thought it was. And so then it causes us to question, it causes us to wonder. And so this pressure that we get from all sides, you know, can be something that wears us down to the point of abandoning our faith or abandoning the truth or thinking that perhaps it's not all of what it was cracked up to be, all of what Jesus provides us and demonstrates to want to give to his people it's too good to be true. You know, why not live my life here and now? More and more people find themselves living apart from God. Even those who profess the name of Christian, those who profess the name Catholic, we all have that, whether in our family circle, amongst our neighbors, co-workers. They say they profess themselves as Catholic, but do things that are contrary to the Catholic faith. We begin to even wonder and question our own sanity. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm not listening to what it is that the people need. You know, am I holding too fast to what God is asking, to the scriptures, to the church? And yet we know it can't be otherwise. It can't be otherwise. You know, Jesus, you know, as he was being asked all these questions by Pontius Pilate, you know, didn't compromise in who he was. You know, he told him exactly his identity. He told him exactly of what he stood for. He didn't offer any other explanation. He didn't back down. And he allowed that simply just to be as it is, because Jesus could not be anything else. And that, my friends, is how we must be in this world. You know, if we find ourselves bending to the pressures of the world, or finding our heart being placed on something else other than Jesus Christ, then we will bend so much that we will break. And the things in which have been promised to us will be no longer. You know, that inheritance in which Jesus has promised us is ours, is there, is present. But what are we doing to safeguard that? What are we doing to help others come to know the inheritance that is also for them? The inheritance that Jesus Christ had bought for them with the price of his blood. It's good for us, for you and I, to be here throughout this day, especially during the passion of our Lord and remembering his life. It is an opportunity for us to look upon our own lives and wonder if we somehow need to make amends. You know, have we perhaps been like the crowd that cares not about the ways of God, but about how it is that I can get ahead in life? And all right, it's about looking after number one, looking after myself. You know, what's in it for me? Is it about, you know, having that same thing with Pontius Pilate, you know, that prestige and honor? I've worked so hard for this. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of what is owed to me. You know, sometimes we have that in our careers. Sometimes we have that in our lives. Or maybe even our relationships. You know, where we invest ourselves in certain relationships, and we know it's not going anywhere good. You know, but we say, because I've done that, because I've spent so many years, how can I now let that go? And that goes especially to, you know, relationships where, you know, one is considering, you know, is this my spouse? Is this going to be my spouse? You know, is this the one I'm called to marry? You know, sometimes I encounter that, you know, whenever we have marriage prep, you know, they feel like that this is the next step, the next thing that they have to do. They feel like they're stuck. They feel like, I don't want to spend 7 more years, you know, getting to know someone, dating that person. What is it that we're holding on to that is not of God? What is it that God is asking us to let go so that we can have more of him? You know, it's easy for us, I think, to have scorn for Pontius Pilate. You know, the way that he was weak, the way that he didn't respond in the way that he ought to. He should have been a man and said, you know, if he stuck to his convictions, to his rulings. How many times, right, do we have in the Passion reading, Pontius Pilate said that this man is innocent, I find nothing wrong with him. And then what happened? Well, I'll crucify him. Oh, well, I guess I gotta go back. And then we think, you know, why didn't you just do your job? You know, if you felt in your heart of hearts so many times over and over again, why didn't you just do your job? But how many times do we have to ask ourselves that same question whenever we compromise our morals, our faith, and decide to go with the pressures of the world? You know, why didn't I just follow Jesus? Why did I allow myself to succumb to the pressure of the world? To that nagging voice that says, give up. Stop trying. That's why it's no surprise that, you know, at the very darkest moments, you know, of Jesus' life, you know, that he hardly found a friend. And it's during those moments that when we find ourselves besieged, you know, as often as we pray the Stations of the Cross, you know, that's where we will find Jesus. When we find ourselves besieged by the world, you know, that's when we're invited to lean upon the chest of Jesus, like John the Apostle, and to know why it is we stand for what we stand. Because at the end, we know that this is not the end. That even though as we find ourselves grieving for what Jesus had done out of love for us, that we know that it ended up in victory. Victory over the cross. Victory over death. Victory over sin. But that victory is not something that you and I can share and celebrate unless we too find ourselves having a share in his cross. Having a share in the pains and sufferings of life that come with living the faith. That come with professing ourselves as Christian, that come with professing ourselves as Catholic, that come with professing ourselves as lovers of Jesus. It is inescapable. Today we'll be invited to venerate the cross, where we can bring to our Lord all our deficiencies, all the ways in which we have lacked love for our Lord, all the ways in which we have put other things first and placed our Lord last. It is where when we can go before the Lord, when we venerate the cross, that we can place all our difficulties, all our sorrows, all our sadness, and ask our Lord Jesus for renewed strength. The grace of conversion, the grace of renewal, the grace of his friendship. It's about time we lay those opinions of the world to rest and give preference for the voice of Jesus, who is the Son of God, who speaks the truth, who ought to be our King. After all, you and I are not of this world. We have a great destiny in heaven. Pilate couldn't see that because he valued his status with Caesar. He was so overcome with his accomplishments and what he had done that he was afraid to lose that. Yet our happiness is not found here among earthly delights and relationships. Lasting joy awaits us in heaven. But it is found through our participation in the cross of Christ.